upstairs. In order to do the upstairs part of the renovation house tour, follow the grey stairs on the left-hand side of the renovation house up to the top, and you will get to an open area with the number 15 in front of you. If you are at the opposite end of the renovation house upstairs, then come along to the unfinished part of the loft conversion area and look for the number 15. The tour starts at the number 15. This is a loft conversion. Many people have space in their loft that they could use for a purpose other than storing the Christmas tree and having gravity feed water tanks. As we move into the loft area, we will stop in front of a wooden gravity feed tank. A lot of the time in newer buildings, these might be a black plastic tank. The new systems of hot water do not use gravity tanks. We use a high-pressure system, which is often referred to as an unvented or high-pressure cylinder. That would mean you can take the gravity feed tanks out of your loft, adding space to the area that you can use in your loft. If you are not turning your loft into a habitable space, i.e. a bedroom, then you could still have a loft ladder and turn the loft area into a plant room. You can put a boiler in your loft. You can put your hot water cylinders in your loft. You could put your ventilation kit in your loft. You can put your electronic control systems in your loft if you have lighting, if it's boarded out, and if an engineer that needs to operate on the equipment does not need specialist training to be able to get into your loft. All of those products will also need to be checked for their weight loading to make sure that the loft is robust enough to take the loads of any of those bits of equipment. As we move towards the middle of the loft area, we can see a cutout that has been created for a roof type window to go in. Very often these will need to be designed by a professional roofing installer or a structural engineer to make sure that you are not disrupting the structural integrity of the roof. You will also need to check that any insulation that you are adding between the rafters does not affect the airflow in the roof and create a dry rot issue with the timbers at a later stage. You will also need to make sure that the insulation is adequate to meet with the latest building regulations. A lot of these products have been cut out. You will notice joins on the rafters. You will also notice that some of them have been replaced completely and double packed around the windows. Because you don't have the central rafter where the window is going, you will notice double packing of the rafters on either side to give it the structural integrity. We will now move towards the number 17, which is the first fix of the loft, and that has a window. This one is a motorized window in situ. Very often, if you can't get to the window, then an electronic window is very useful. These also have rain sensors on them, so if it starts raining, the window will automatically close if it has been electronically opened. The insulation, we note, has gone in. We also note that underneath the rafters there is additional insulation. This is to get it up to building regulations standards. Any of these calculations need to be done by a professional to make sure that it complies with building regulations. If you are making it into a habitable space, such as this could be a bedroom, if it is the third floor, you need to make sure that you have also taken care of fire regulations, because it changes when you have a third floor. So fire regulations need to be taken care of, not only by putting in mains connected alarms, but also you need to make sure that there is a safe route of escape should a fire happen in the property. We now move to the finished loft area. The roof window that we see in front of us above the number 18 is not an electronic window, but this one instead is one that is known as a top-hung window, whereas electronic ones have what is referred to as a central pivot. If you are putting in a roof window, it is important to define whether you want central pivot or top-hung, and if you want them to be electronic, it will inevitably be central pivot. Central pivot is easier to clean from the inside, whereas top hung does not have a piece that hangs down that perhaps would be a hazard for you to bump your head on. So it's important to look at the implications. This particular top hung one actually has a central pivot as well for cleaning, but it is not an electronic window. We will now be moving across to the main part of the renovation house, and we will be walking across the scaffolding, which has chipboard on it. As we move across the scaffolding, we can see the first fix of the property in front of us and to the right of us as we go around. So one is just moving around the property, and as we come back to the grey path, on the left we have a bedroom, and also on the left, a little bit further on, we have the bathroom with the lovely avocado suite. We can see very similar issues to the ones that we saw downstairs with the damp, but a lot of these issues have been brought on by a very leaky roof. This roof needs to be looked at by a professional roofer, and the insulation needs to be improved and the cladding needs to be replaced. As we look at these two rooms in the property, we can see that the bathroom suite needs serious upgrading, and you might be wanting to look at thermostatic shower products to go in, adding a shower, but we need to take out all of the products first and make sure that we won't get any leakage that is going to create damage downstairs, and make sure that none of the damage that is already downstairs was caused by leaking pipes or drains from the added bathrooms. The bedroom plaster is coming off the walls, and we also notice that the render and wallpaper needs to be pulled off as well. The windows would also need to be replaced. Now, when we start in the bathroom, we are now looking at number 21. In order to get to number 22, turn around and go back down the path, and you will see, back towards the scaffolding that you've just walked across, you will see the number 22 on the wall. We will go into that area, and on the right, you will notice different types of underfloor heating solutions. Starting on the right of the building, very close to the number 22, you will notice some underfloor heating pipe underneath the timbers. This is a common practice to put the pipes underneath the floor deck, but you would need a higher flow temperature in the pipework to be able to get the heat into that room. The most common product now used on an existing floor is to use what is referred to as an overlay system. As we move towards the middle of this room, we are looking at the windows. We can see underfloor heating overlays. One of them is a cement board, which acts as a screed. The next one, and the one after it, are lightweight polystyrene-based boards that have a rebate for the pipe to go into, and can have a screed board, which is the board on the left-hand side that has been added on top of the polystyrene rebated board. If you are using a screed board, you need to accommodate the calculations for your joists to take an extra 20 to 25 kilograms per square meter because of the weight load. You also need to know exactly what the buildup is It's usually going to be around 40 millimeters. Otherwise, the staircase will catch you out. When we look at the window straight in front of us, we can see that this particular window has a wooden lintel. Many properties of this vintage have no lintels whatsoever. They relied on the integrity and strength of the wooden frames of the windows that went in the original building. As those windows get changed and you put in perhaps PVC or another product that is not designed to have the same loading strength, what can happen is you end up with cracking above the window simply because there is no lintel. So before changing your window, investigate whether there is a lintel and whether it is still fit for purpose. If damp has got into this one, which is a wooden lintel, then that could also have deteriorated and dropped by even 4 or 5 millimeters is more than enough to create cracking and undulation in the roof line above it. The roof has been completely stripped back, and we can notice will now be able to be re-insulated to a more modern standard. We can once again see stitching in the walls to rejoin the walls together where cracking had deteriorated its structural integrity. As we move further along the walkway, we will see a number 23, and we can see more examples of overlay underfloor heating that has been put into different rooms. So different rooms could have different applications. It is worth investigating which systems work best for you, or come on the heating course here at the National Self-Build and Renovation Center, where we will explain it in more depth. We now move back down the other side of the wall. We are moving back towards the original bedroom. We will move around the corner, staying to the right-hand side, and we enter into the first fix of the bedroom, where we will see on your left-hand side a number 25. Staring straight at the window, on the left-hand side, you will also see a hot water cylinder with a cream top. That is a micro air source heat pump. It draws air from parts of the house, such as the kitchen and the bathroom or the utility room, anywhere with high levels of humidity, and it uses the heat from that waste air going out of the house. It will use the heat to turn that into hot water. If you need to know any more about that product, then once again, join the National Self-Build and Renovation Center's Heating Your Home course, which is also available as a one-day course and looks at these products in a more technical way. We will also notice the studwork behind the hot water cylinder has been specified in such a way that the studwork is not compatible with the electric box. This is just a point on project management to make sure that all of your trades have been briefed with the same specifications. We seem to have a large depth on the timber studwork, but we have shallow gauge electrical boxes. The two are not compatible. We will also notice that, once again, the light switch below the number 25 also has a single wire to it for controlling the electrical system. As we move towards the middle of the room, before we get to the hot water cylinder, the electric box we can see is a shallow 25 millimeter depth. If you are planning to have electric sockets with USB plugs in them, you will need to make sure that the depth is at least 35 millimeters, which can include the plasterboard on the front, or the USB switches might not fit. They need a slightly deeper rebate. We can also notice that some data cables have been installed to bring the information to TVs for streaming video, and also perhaps if this is a room that might have a PlayStation or Xbox or one of those gaming devices, or even an online high data gaming platform on a computer. When we look at the right-hand side of this room, we notice that once again there is stud work, but it has insulation already installed into it. This particular insulation is not vapor open, so should only really be used on a property where the vapor is not going to be required to be able to move through that element. If in doubt, it is worth getting a professional to look at the analysis of how you want to do the insulation and the vapor control layers to make sure that you will not end up with a dew point buried in the wall and end up then with what is referred to as interstitial condensation, which could be in air gaps, or condensation buildup in the fabric of the building that then creates a degradation of the structural integrity of that mortar or those bricks. When we look at the ceiling of the room, we'll notice that it has been replaced with plasterboard, and we also notice that there are a couple of round circles in the ceiling which are ventilation extract points. So in a room, if you had mechanical ventilation, you would see terminals very similar to this. They are not manually adjustable. They get adjusted at installation and when it is commissioned to create the right balance of air across the whole system. When we look above the ceiling line and we look at the roof, we can see different types of insulation that have been put in place. At the joist level, we have a wool type insulation, and then above that, we have a vapor control insulation, and also at high level. Above that is a black box, which is a mechanical ventilation system. This one is a horizontal one. Moving across to number 26, which will be at the first fix bathroom, we will notice once again that there is actually a light switch with the single orange wire in it. As it is not a mains voltage, you can actually have light switches in bathrooms that have low voltage and non-lethal electric connections on them. We will notice as well that the waterproof plasterboard has been used in abundance here, especially in the corner where a wet room tiling system has been used. The wet room would need to be planned in early, as you need to make sure that the water will run down to the shower drain. On the ceiling, we will also notice a couple of light wells or solar tubes that bring light in from outside. These are a great way to get natural light into a previously dark area, perhaps an ensuite or a hallway. Bringing that natural light in is a great way to brighten up the room. Now looking at the finishes, turning straight back facing the opposite direction with your back to the bathroom and the first fix bedroom, you will see the finishes of the bedrooms as well. Once again, it has been nicely finished. We can see a telly on the wall that has all of the electrical connections to it and the data cables. And we can also see that the roof now above the bathroom, we can see the silver tube bringing the light in from outside. How you lay out your bathroom is very similar in a way to the kitchens. It is going to be personal. If you think you might be changing things around and putting in a freestanding bath or changing to a shower cubicle at a later stage, perhaps it would be an idea to tile the whole of the floor and then you can change the bathroom at a later stage without having too much disruption and needing to dig up the floor, especially if it has underfloor heating in it. When we move on, you will have the bathroom on your left. Moving now towards the outside of the loft conversion and turning with your back to the loft area and looking back down the grey path that you've just come down, you will see on the outside wall a rendered finish which is external wall insulation or EWI. This is a insulation product that is applied to the wall and then given a mesh coat render over the top of it to make sure that it has a finish that is watertight. External wall insulation is the T-Cozy effect insulation. It will effectively stop any thermal bridges on internal wall spaces. If you insulate on the inside of your property, there is no way to insulate across the internal partition walls between rooms. Whereas if you insulate on the outside, it wraps the whole building. You do need to make sure that you accommodate any windows and doors to make sure that they don't look like they are holes that have been poked into a snowman. And also, any downpipes, as we see on the right-hand side, need to be accommodated as well to make sure that they don't get buried in the insulation. And if they do, that you don't end up with a cold bridge at that point. The mesh render, if we have a look at it, we can see that there is a base coat on top of the polystyrene. The polystyrene is glued onto the wall. The render then goes on, a base coat goes on, the mesh gets applied to that base coat, and then another base coat goes on top of the mesh to embed it in, to stop it cracking and moving, and then the render coat goes straight over the top of that. Effectively, the render will be around 7 millimeters in depth. Now, if we move our eyes towards the floor area, we can see some bricks, a line of 4 bricks. Those could be brick slips, which are thin slivers of real brick, but these ones are actually a GRP product and they are not brick at all. But they give the impression of brick. And it is worth noting that if you are insulating the outside of your house and increasing the footprint, you may need planning permission. If you are changing the look from the street, you will probably also need planning permission. So it is worth making a note of that before boldly going ahead and then needing to take it all down afterwards. And that brings us to the end of the upstairs part of the renovation house tour. If you need to know any further information on renovation, then do look at the renovation course that we run here at the National Self-Build and Renovation Center. And if you're wanting to know about the heating systems, then the heating course might be good for you as well. Thank you very much.